You want prizes? We've got free prizes. You want cash? We've got lots of cash. Simply download Bashani Radio app. Allow push notifications and listen for your chance to win loads of cash. Please don't tell our CEO. It's his money we're giving away. We won't tell if you won't tell. Bashani Radio app. Download it for free in the App Store.
It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Welcome to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We're broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, you can go to seoqueen.com and book a complimentary Reach More Clients Power Session. Now, I have to remind you that on July 22nd, 2023 is the Reach More Clients Power Conference. You can still register now. You can go to seoqueen.com/conference and purchase a virtual or in-person ticket. It will be in the beautiful city of Inglewood in Southern California, and we look forward to seeing you there. And in addition to me speaking, also Dr. Boyce Watkins, Andrina Phillips, and Ardina Brooks, Dr. John Aiden, and Adrian Grace will be speaking. So I'm really excited about that. And so today's guest is a quantum wealth strategist and expert. She is an author, and she has a lot of things to share with you on how to up-level or actually economically empower yourself. I want to make sure I use the right terminology. Economic empowerment is the topic of today. I want to present to some and introduce to others, none other than Asia. And you're going to have to help me with your last name. How do you pronounce it?
Kirkendall.
Kirkendall. Asia Kirkendall. Welcome, yes. Asia.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I'm doing real good. I'm so glad we got to connect after meeting in Chicago. Obviously, it was a connection at first sight because we clicked and made our way through the conference, learning each other. And here we are now, already touching base.
Yep. Awesome. It was awesome. I mean, I was really blown away at what you had to say in terms of quantum wealth theory. That framework was really an awesome way to just take your money mindset and just your thoughts on abundance and just take it to a whole nother level. And so how did you get started in the finance industry?
Yes. Okay. You know, nobody's ever asked me that question that way.
Mm-hmm.
The way you asked it, I always have the same answer. I grew up hearing my mom tell me how good I was with money. So when I went to college, like they told me I was supposed to, accounting was the obvious choice as my undergrad, and then went back for my master's in finance after being in the financial industry for a while. But since these last couple of weeks of just really digging into the quantum wealth theory and talking to people about it, you know, it's still growing with legs of its own. And so I got into it because of my default programming, because growing up, my mom always told me, because she was reflecting on her own situation, you know, seeing bills past due, you know, being short check to check. She would always tell me, Asia, you're so good with saving your money. I know that now I was hoarding money, because for me, the experience was we would never have enough, because that's what I felt and heard. And so I grew up being really good at hoarding money and keeping every penny that I had, knowing exactly how many dollars I had at any given moment. And so my programming led me into the financial space. And my experience is what led me to what I'm calling now like the alternate financial space. And I call it alternate because, like you started by saying, if the topic of today is economic empowerment, we use that term on the flip side of financial literacy, because that's what we hear a lot about. Oh, we need financial literacy. As soon as we're literate and we educate ourselves enough about finances, then surely all these problems will go away. And through my experience, I learned that that's not true. I was technically financially literate. There you go.
I want to interrupt you right there because I know something happened to you. You were financially literate, but something happened to you that was like, I need, something has to change. Something is wrong with my financial and my economic status. So can you explain what happened, what that pivotal moment was?
Absolutely. The year was 2017. It was a cold fall evening.
Tell the story, girl. I'm emotionally invested. Continue.
You know, I'm playing basketball, the love of my life. I've been playing since I was 5 years old. So here I am in 2017, 27 years old now. I've been playing for 20 plus years. It's a co-ed basketball, guys and girls, rec league. And so like I've always done, I'm balling out on the court. So I go down for a fast break layup, come down, and all of a sudden the floor was slanted under my foot. What I know now, that was an Achilles tendon rupture. And so from this injury, I walked on this injury for 4 months. I'm sorry, for 4 weeks. 4 weeks.
4 weeks, okay.
4 weeks. I was nursing it myself, didn't realize what it was. I didn't have any major injuries over my whole career. So I'm thinking I can ace bandage it, apple cider vinegar, soak it, you know, back to health. And I'm giving you the long version of the story because it absolutely goes somewhere. So it's the fourth weekend that I'm limping around on this injury. This weekend I had signed up for one of those 3-day millionaire mastermind conferences. You know, the ones they email you about, like, hey, come to your city for free. You know, you get the free ticket and they just upsell you the whole time while you're there. So it was a 3-day event. I still work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. And so I had to get there on the first day just to register and sign up. So I walk in on this last day, or on Friday, sign up and sit next to this gentleman named Mr. Rob Wilson. And over these 3 days, we were partners through these exercises. What I know now, he's one of the experts in the financial industry. He had a radio show for 20 years about credit and personal budget. And so I learned from him this concept of wealth mentality. And so just wanted to show him honor in that way, that that was the spark that started me on the place. But ultimately, it was that fourth weekend. I'm limping around Atlantic Station for 3 days. My ankle swelled up to the size of a softball. Went into the emergency clinic. And as soon as I laid on the table, she was like, oh, yeah, you need surgery. This is a tendon's rupture. And so it was that surgery that cost me $5,000 out of pocket that I was going to charge to my credit card because I wasn't saving anything for emergencies, for anything really. I was spending everything as soon as it came in because I'm a single individual, no kids or responsibility, all the disposable income. I had a good job. I had just bought the house the year before. And so it was this $5,000 that I was going to have to charge to the credit card. And I was like, there's something I'm missing. I have financial goals. I'm nowhere close to them, nowhere closer than I was before I was making all this money. My spending habits, I had to reflect on those. You know, you're sitting up late in the bed. And so it was that injury that was like the perfect storm that just had me rethink everything and wonder, what are the wealthy 1% doing that everybody else is missing? Because it's not just technical knowledge.
Right. So I think to me, what is just so powerful about your story is that you had a house, great job, great credit, but no emergency funds, and something happened. And so what do you do? So this pivotal moment happened. So what started you writing your book?
Yes. Okay. So this pivotal moment happens. This is November of 2017. I'm 27 years old. And up until this point, I had been working corporate finance for 2017. For 6 years now, since 2011. So I've been 6 years in the professional workforce, all the disposable income, no savings. And so it just so happened that May of this same year, 2017, before I even ruptured my Achilles tendon, the light bulb came off that the idea that I had in college back in 09, I always wanted to develop a program to teach kids about money. That was a thought that I had written in one of my old notebooks, to develop a program for teach kids about money. The idea started out as an after-school program, started out as a summer camp. You know, I'm brainstorming, what can I do? I knew I wanted to be in business for myself at some point, but was not paying attention to my financial goals, which overlapped my business goals. So I hadn't thought about it. But I knew when I wrote that goal, I said I wanted to be working for myself by the time I turned 30. So it just so happened, 2017, I'm 27 years old. I'm like, okay, now this is the perfect time for you to get serious about this mission to teach kids about money, your business, and also to look at your own personal financial situation. And so from 2017, I did start researching about after school summer camp programs and started to do that work of putting that business plan together. And, you know, went to some manufacturers about a chore allowance system, a binder with envelopes, you know, which are still in the pipeline. But it was through developing the program for kids that I realized, okay, we can teach kids all we want about financial literacy, economic empowerment, but if they go back into these households that still have this poverty mentality and still have these destructive or unproductive money habits, then what we're teaching them is going to be wiped away because they spend, you know, majority of their time getting programmed in these households. And so I was like, okay, before I focus on the kids, let me address the households and the environments where these kids are going to be raised in. Because first and foremost, the original name of my company was Next Generation, mm-hmm. which is now Ace Financial Matters. But it's this idea of bringing kids into the conversation. I don't feel like kids and adults should live in these silo worlds where it's like, this is grown folks' business, this is kids' business. Stay in your place until all one day they turn 18 and it flips, but they've never been exposed to the concepts they're supposed to know about. And so that's what got me started writing the book. And I was like, okay, I need a framework to help young adults, you know, whether they're 18, fresh out of college, or new parents that haven't really got a grip on their household finances. I just really wanted something that was basic, that could be for any level from junior in high school all the way up, for people just to get a grip on their money mindset and how to build a foundation for their personal finances.
That's awesome. So I have a question, like, why do you think that there is such a silo between adults and children when it comes to finances?
Shoot, you know, the conversation starts in finances, but I feel like just as a culture, and we can just speak for our culture in general, I feel like it's just what we've been taught and conditioned. Perhaps parents are so focused on surviving, making sure food is on the table, making sure the household is set forth. You know, we didn't always have the luxury to play with our kids or spend that quality time because we're making the money, cooking the food. You know, we don't have that same village approach to raising our kids. And so I feel like parents just have enough to be focused on that they don't have the luxury to invite kids. Like, it'll take them more time to teach the kids about the budget rather than just to do it real quick. And so I feel like it's just a result of necessity and how we got here, why we operate this way.
Boy, you definitely giving me some food for thought, because I find that I'm reluctant to talk to my son about financial matters because, one, he's like an old refrigerator sometimes. He can't hold anything. And two, I don't want him to worry about certain things, but sometimes I open up to him about, you know, certain aspects of finances. But I think this is definitely a conversation worth having for parents and their children, especially for entrepreneurs, you know, for their kids to understand, you know, the financial ups and downs that can occur at times.
I was going to say that maybe that's exactly the linchpin of the conversation. Like, hey, we're going through this obstacle now. Let me show you how I assess obstacles and risk and overcome, and just show that process. Because at the end of the day, you know, you're going to figure it out. You know, it's going to get handled, whether you know, whatever power you believe in. But it's just that, you know, shielding them from worry, or, you know, just letting them know that's a part of life. Sometimes you got to deal with things that might make you worry, but it's how you handle them, especially when you're talking about finances, that makes or breaks you.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's really interesting. So, your book, what is your book called?
Quantum Wealth Theory.
Okay, how did you come up with that name? That's really interesting, Quantum Wealth Theory.
Okay, so I had to pull it out because last time somebody asked me that, I couldn't tie it directly. But basically, I use a thesaurus. And the idea was different terms for wealth. And the term that I started with was activation. Like, how do we activate the wealth that we have? Because the idea is that wealth in this context is more than just the dollars in your bank account or the green paper. It's the wealth of natural resources, your time, your attention, the energy you spend, the thoughts you have. These are all forms of currency that we exchange for the lifestyle that we desire. And so the idea I wanted to, the title to represent that wealth is more than just about money. And there's different ways we can activate it if we just, so it started with wealth activation. Then I got to radical riches, you know, because the idea of it being radical is saying that money is not about money and it's, you know, wealth is a mentality. We hear people skirt by that all the time that, oh, the number one thing to know is to have true wealth. You got to build your mindset. People say that and stand on it so hard, but I rarely hear people really dive into it to say, what is a wealthy mindset and how do you build it?
Mm-hmm.
So after just going through this thesaurus and crossing out different synonyms, I landed on quantum wealth and then theory because, you know, you got to put the CYA in there. I can't say I know for a fact because who knows anything for a fact? But I'll tell you what I've researched.
Right, right, right. Quantum wealth theory. So I heard your presentation on quantum wealth theory in Chicago, and I was intrigued. Dr. Boyce Watkins was so intrigued that he also interviewed you on his YouTube channel. By the way, you should definitely check that interview out. But please, please, please tell me, like, what is quantum wealth theory? How did it give you clarification to become more economically empowered?
Yes. Okay, so what it is and how did it give clarification on more economic empowered?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll start with the second question on how it leads to more economic empowerment. Mm-hmm. And it's because when we take money out of the equation, because, you know, everybody that's here hustling for generational wealth has their financial goals, working so hard day and night, regardless of what that work looks like. It is my opinion or my theory that people are working so hard, not for money, but for peace, freedom, joy, and love. The peace of mind. They don't have to worry about, you know, who's doing what, spending what. They could do what they want without money being a factor. Freedom to do what they want, when they want, with who they want, for as long as they want. Joy, enjoying the things that they spend their time day to day doing. And then love, you know, we're in relationships with each other because we all want that love. That is the theory that we're working with here. And so if we recognize that that's what people are truly striving for, in this money conversation, if we can just identify where our ideal lifestyle, we're calling it our 5-year North Star vision. If what does our ideal lifestyle look like? Taking money out of the equation, if we could just identify exactly what we want in life, then we can align our day-to-day actions to see if it matches that. We don't have to worry, do I have enough money to do this? We're taking money out of the equation. And so I feel like the quantum wealth theory, why it lends that quantum leap, if you will, to economic empowerment, because you can have peace of mind on day one when you just put your plan together and you know exactly where you are. Sometimes that alone can give you peace of mind. Even if you're not, oh, I got to charge my computer real soon. Even if you're not there financially with your ideal lifestyle, at least you have a picture of it so you have peace.
Right. When you have a plan, you definitely have peace. I can definitely relate to that because I used to stress about, you know, where my next client was going to come from and I have systems in place. And so that's one less thing I worry about.
Yeah. And so with that first, with peace of mind, changing your mindset, which means just digging into, okay, now you have peace. And then the other idea that quantum leaps you towards that ideal lifestyle is realizing that you don't always have to exchange dollars to have this ideal lifestyle that you're visioning for. Some people feel like, oh, once I make so much money, then I can, you know, hire a cleaning service because cleaning twice a month is the, you know, the worst thing for me. That's where I hate spending my time. It takes me so long to do it. And so maybe you meet somebody and you can barter your services for cleaning, or maybe you want to, you know, ride horseback in your free time once a month. And so instead of paying for your horseback ride, you volunteer at the farm more. Because you've got crystal clear about what you want, then your perception, your vision is open. So now you can recognize different ways to get it that may not have to do with spending money to have that. And so I wanted to answer that second part first, because when we talk about changing your perception, your relationship with money, that's how it can make you feel more wealthy, even if you're not making more money.
Right. You know, I realized, I think within the past couple of years, that making more money isn't always the answer, because sometimes there's things that money can't purchase.
Yeah.
No matter how much money you have, if it's someone's birthday, you can't book their venue.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of things that money cannot buy. And I've realized that. And so I think that's really awesome that your quantum wealth theory takes that into account when developing the right wealth mindset.
Yes. Okay, so that was the second part on how this quantum wealth theory lends to more economic empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
You feel empowered to make your decisions. You know where you're starting from. You know where you're going. And the other part to it is understanding that every single one of us is unique. Just like our fingerprints, there's no two people with the same fingerprint. There's no two people who have had the same past experiences or want the same future desires. And so when you talk about economic empowerment, a part of that is empowering yourself to make your financial decisions that's going to benefit you. Because if you only listen to traditional financial advisors or the cookie cutter savings plan that you find online, those may not work for you because of your experience or where you're going. And so you got one?
Yeah, I mean, you raise a lot of really great points, because, you know, most people get a job, have family, buy a house, that's it. You know, my situation is different. I have books I'm writing, I have recordings that I'm financing. And so there's a whole nother financial obligation that I have that other people don't have. So my plan has to be different.
Yeah.
My circumstances are different.
Yes.
So I like that your framework allows that flexibility to be customized to each person's individual situation to define what success means to them.
Yes. Man, because that, like you said, the white picket fence, the good job, you know, the nice car and the family, like, that literally does not work for everybody, especially when you talk about big cities. Like, what if somebody wants to live in the, you know, in the downtown center in the condo, because they don't want to pay for a car note, you know, so they're willing to pay extra high for their rent right now because they're saving on the car, and that accessibility is more valuable to them than having space in a picket fence, you know?
Right. So, I mean, it definitely, your utility for your basket of goods is different depending on what your desires are.
Yeah.
I'm not paying attention to microeconomics.
Oh, okay. That's some economics I hear. I didn't even know I knew that, but yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's really, that's what drew me in when I heard the framework and how you broke that down. I heard, you know, part of what, you know, Markwell Russell has shared with Money Mindset and Client Attraction University, T. Harv Eckward with the, you know, the Millionaire Mindset. I heard bits and pieces of that, but I heard it brought together in a more cohesive way that made sense to me, and I just love your workbook. So I can't wait to get my copy.
Yes, it should be getting there any day now. I sent it off last Friday, you know, holiday traffic, all that stuff.
Yeah. I'm definitely excited to read that. But I mean, what are some of the things that you find, what are some of the obstacles that you see that people who are financially literate have to overcome to becoming economically empowered?
Man, great question. So the first thing is the language. You know, when I say language, I'm not just talking about the spoken language, words that actually escape your lips. I'm talking about the language, which is the thoughts we think, the words we say, of course, our actions. That's a form of language. And so part of updating the second edition, what I'm looking forward to including learning about the reticular activating system. And it's,
what's that? The reticular activating system. What's that?
It's like literally the system that holds the subconscious programming that we have.
Oh, and wow. So it's in our honest. Okay.
I'm about to bust it open. Because
break it all down, please.
So I'm still in the research phase of that part, but it's this idea that from ages 0 to 7 years old, this is when our subconscious is being programmed. They say we operate from this ages in a theta brainwave state majority, which is where you're more susceptible to programming, or, you know, let's call it programming. And so 90 to 95% of your subconscious adult life was built during this age 0 to 7. Unless you've done the work to rewrite, because you can't remove old programming, you just write over new ones. You can't undo default programming, you can only overwrite new programming. And so unless you've rewritten the subconscious programmings, then this is what's leading 95% of your life going forward. And so the reticular activating system, basically the place where this programming is held, I have my notes sketched out, because it starts as a thought, and then the next thing is the feeling. The thoughts you have, we can't help though. That's subconscious that comes up. Mm-hmm. The next thing is you feel a way about this thought. You either feel good about it, or you feel bad about it, or you're neutral about it. And so it's this feeling that perpetuates this cycle. So you feel good, so you'll have more of that thoughts, or you feel bad, so you don't want to have them, but they still coming up. And so the way you feel about it is what reinforces it. And so if you do this cycle enough, eventually it goes into a belief that you have. And so now this belief that's charged by a feeling, this is where the ingrained, the reprogramming happens, because now if you affirm this belief enough, you say it out loud, you look for confirmation, mm-hmm. then it officially, after a while, this belief will be hard coded into your subconscious. And it's that level where you talk about undoing our programming and moving forward with the wealth mentality. It's getting to that level, which emphasizes the feeling, because when we can recognize the thoughts as they come up, no need to be mad about it, you know, because the question you asked me is what's the obstacles that stops them? And I started talking about the reticular activating system, because sometimes the obstacle is you don't even know it's an obstacle, because you just say the thoughts, have the feelings, and never think twice about it. You're not even recognizing that this thought and feeling is what's stopping you.
Wow.
And so I know you felt that one.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I remember when I was in Dr. Janine Staples' breakthrough school, and we literally had to sit. This is one of the exercises we did. We had to sit with our feelings, look at it, acknowledge it, examine it, and make a decision on whether or not we wanted to keep it or reinterpret that experience and that feeling. And I think this is something that people don't do. Most people don't do that. And that's why I encourage people to journal. I encourage people to journal, because it really allows you to process a lot of what you're feeling and why.
And so for okay, and man, this is so good because that journaling is just a tool to help you be a self-aware, to self-reflect, because we are so much in that seat of I am this experience and this is what's happening to me. But we also can put ourselves in that observer seat and say, okay, this has happened. This feeling is coming up. Do I want to go with it or not? Like you said, the exercise was. And so in this money conversation, an example of a thought that may come that you may not think twice about is just, I can't afford it. And so if somebody's like, oh, hey, you want to go on a vacation, maybe it's something frivolous, or maybe it's an investment in your business. But if you are presented with the opportunity and you say, I can't afford it, then automatically you're telling yourself you can't afford it. And it cuts off the possibility of you finding a way to afford it. And it also tells you that you can't afford it, which maybe is not true. Maybe it's not in your budget. Maybe it's not a priority. Maybe you're going to find a way to get it. But instead of saying, I can't afford it, just say those things. It's not a priority right now. Or maybe next year I'll plan for it. But it's just being mindful, or something like, oh, there's always going to be bills to pay. I can't save up because there's always something coming up. When we say that, if we going back to what the quantum wealth theory is, it gets into the quantum physics of energy, the metaphysics of frequency when we think a thought or say a word. If you say there's always going to be something, I can't save money, then you better believe that's going to be your experience. If you keep saying that, feeling the feelings that support that and believing that thing, it's just reinforcing that same default programming.
So I think this is really, really an important discussion. So what are three tips that you have for people to be economically empowered?
Yes. I never heard that question either. Three tips. Okay, so if the language and the thoughts are the biggest obstacle, I'm thinking about tips for those. Because, when we have these conversations, maybe people like us are having these conversations, listening to this kind of reprogramming information more often than others. But for people who, aren't in this space of entrepreneurship or extreme self-actualization, whatever you want to call it, if we assume that they're going to listen to this podcast or maybe pick up one book, read it, and then maybe not be so deep into it, I want to give tips for those people because it's something that they can carry day to day, even if they're not actively learning, especially because the money conversation, it does seep in every inch of our life. Like, where I'm going to eat today? Am I going to go out on the weekend to do this? The gym membership that I have, the food that I could buy, the decision that I make for my kids. And so, whether we think about it as a money decision or not, most day-to-day decisions impact our money. And so, the question, I'll say a question you can ask anytime you're getting ready to make a purchase or spend fiat currency in a transaction. Hell, if you're going to spend your attention currency in any transaction, ask yourself, does this align with my 5-year North Star ideal vision? Does this transaction, this purchase, this time I'm about to spend, does it align with the idea that I ultimately have as my ideal lifestyle in the future? That's one question I would say you can ask. One tip: does this align with my ideal vision or not? Now, I know that's a little tricky because, like we said, if a lot of people aren't doing that self-reflective work, maybe they haven't painted that 5-year North Star vision yet. You can get in with the quantum wealth theory, will help you paint that picture. But that's the question to ask, is does this align with my ideal vision? Let's see, a second tip. Ooh, I know. This is for me because I skipped the part of the story where I told you I became a shopaholic after I graduated high school because I grew up hoarding money so much, never having the, earning my own. As soon as I started earning my own money, living on my own, I was buying everything that I wanted, needed, and ever wanted in life. And so, just shopping, going to the stores after school. This is college because the mall is across the street, but I never leave empty-handed. So for me, a tip, if you're a shopaholic like me, don't go window shopping. Just don't go into stores unless you absolutely need to. Like, I don't go into stores unless there's something very specific. And I buy my toiletries and stuff online now from Amazon. So I'm not just browsing in, you know, the Targets. I know Targets can get crazy.
Target is notorious for the impulse buys.
Target can get real crazy because, you know, it's household goods, it's beauty products. Like, I need these things. Yeah. But do I need them right now? You know?
No.
Yeah. So those are my two tips. Asking yourself, I'll think of one more. Hug. Asking yourself, does this align with my vision or not?
Your North Star vision.
Don't go window shopping if you know you're the type. And I guess lastly, an easy one, don't save your credit card information in like your key wallets or like your favorite stores, because that just makes it way too easy.
All right. I think those are some great, great tips. So how can people order a copy of the Quantum Wealth Theory book, and how can they follow you on social media and get in contact with you?
Yes. Okay, so I got up the white paper. I wanted to make sure as I'm having these conversations, preparing for the launch on August 25th, people can download the white paper and get a summary of the Quantum Wealth Theory in each of the seven phases. And so you can find that on my website at acefm.us. It's like Ace Financial Matters. acefm.us/pages/white paper. And they can go there, sign up for that download. And then from there, I'll have their contact information. I'll definitely be keeping everybody updated with that August 25th launch date.
This is awesome. Discover the three secrets of the wealthy 1% and how you can apply them today for instant financial peace.
Yes.
Awesome. I love this.
And so, yeah, you can see the website. It's fun. Like I said, it's functional, but I'm definitely going to be optimizing over these next month and a half preparing for this launch.
This is awesome. So I am so happy you had that time to come onto my show, and I'm going to finish filling this out later, but I'm just so excited to keep in touch and stay informed on everything that you're doing, because I think a lot of people are going to be helped, including myself.
Yes.
And I'm just so happy to support you.
Man, thank you.
Do you have any final comments or shout outs?
Man, we'll definitely shout out JJ Conway. You know, if it weren't for her, we wouldn't be here.
Right.
So JJ, you know, she does this work, what seems like relentlessly, you know, even if it's not mainstream. And so watching her go so hard for these past couple years, and also, you know, recognizing a similar approach for me, you know, doing all this work. But now I'm excited about bringing it to the surface because, yeah, we all need this. Like, I know it.
Absolutely.
And that's why I did it. And now that I see how much it helped me, I want to do nothing more than just share it with everybody else who cares to hear about it.
Awesome. And you guys have been listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We're broadcast worldwide on Bishani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bishani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening, you can always go to SEOQueen.com and book a complimentary Reach More Clients Power session. And don't forget, you can also register on SEOQueen.com/conference for our Reach More Clients Power Conference. We have virtual and in-person tickets available. If you go to SEOQueen.com/conference, I'm so excited. Dr. Boyce Watkins, myself, Dr. John Aiden, Adrian Grace, Adrena Phillips, and Ardina Brooks are speakers. And this is going to be a fantastic event. for you to up-level your online presence with actionable strategies and advice. It's not one long sales pitch. Trust me when I tell you, it's going to be awesome. I'm definitely looking forward to that. And thank you again, Asia, for being on the show today. And until next time.
Yes. Thank you. Peace, y'all.
It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
You want prizes? We've got free prizes. You want cash? We've got lots of cash. Simply download Bashani Radio app. Allow push notifications and listen for your chance to win loads of cash. Please don't tell our CEO it's his money we're giving away. We won't tell if you won't tell. Bashani Radio app. Download it for free in the App Store.